We can be opening our Bibles to Exodus, chapter 25, verse 23. As always, those handouts are maybe not necessary for most of you, but for some it might give some important orientation as to the things that we're talking about. Periodically, we've been studying the furniture of the tabernacle in the wilderness that God commanded Moses to build. Okay, everybody got one that wants one of the inserts? I'll take the rest of them here, Caleb. In the study of the furniture in the tabernacle in the wilderness, we have found that the God was illustrating for us through those articles of furniture different aspects of the ministry and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that would one day become the perfect sacrifice for sin. And so now we're ready to consider the last piece of the furniture. We've considered all the other pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. And this last piece of furniture is known as the table of the showbread. And it was placed in the holy place, as the first song that we sang about the true report, the whole imagery there, if you weren't familiar with what the song was talking about, I've passed the I believe the verse starts out with passing the outer court, and then the chorus talks about the inner veil. All of that was referenced to these types and shadows in the Old Testament. And so the table of showbread was in the holy place along with the altar of incense and the menorah, the candle. The menorah, the candlestick, I guess is how it's referred to. And in Exodus 25, we find one of the passages where God gives instruction for this table of showbread to be built. Now, the Hebrew that's translated showbread can also and probably more accurately be translated presence bread. The presence bread, it's actually a reference to the face. And so it is, the thought is in the presence of, or to be present. And so in Exodus 25, beginning at verse 23, we read these instructions to Moses. You shall also make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. Now a cubit, it varies anywhere from 18 to 21 inches, kind of gives you an idea of the size of the table, a relatively smaller table. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make for it a frame of a hand breadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold that the table may be carried with them. And you shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. If we would do a more thorough search of all the details concerning the table and the showbread that was to be placed on it, we would quickly find that every week Aaron, the high priest, and his sons, the priests, were to bake 12 new loaves of bread and arrange them on the table along with frankincense. And then every week when they replaced that bread, they would take the bread that had been there and they would eat it in a holy place. So the priests, the representatives of the people of Israel, were the ones who ate this bread, and they were to do so in a holy place. Now, we're not told in any of the instructions whether or not the bread was leavened or unleavened. Most likely, it was unleavened in accordance with the meal offering that we studied last week, as it was required to be without leaven. Many think that the 12 loaves of bread here on the table of showbread were actually a kind of grain offering or a meal offering. So most likely unleavened. We're not told exactly how they're arranged. You'll notice I did print this picture, other than many represent it where you have six rows side by with individual cakes side by side, and you got two rows. And that appears to be the literal reading of the English, where you have the two rows, six each. But the Hebrew doesn't necessarily require that. And the size of the table, and then also the rather large size of the portions that are required to make each bread, I believe that the more accurate understanding is the stack, the two stacks of six cakes. But you'll see various representations of the table of showbread, but this is one that I feel is probably the closest with for the instructions that we have. The question that we have to ask, first of all, in relationship to the nation of Israel, what was God trying to teach Israel? And then how does what he was teaching the nation of Israel, how does that point to Jesus? And how do we benefit from these details and from these instructions? When we think of the showbread, there are historic evidence in other societies and other peoples of the same time of the nation of Israel that they used bread to serve to their gods. And it was considered in those cases to be food for the gods, the breads that they presented and offered as basically as an offering to their idols. But there's no evidence that Israel ever understood these loaves as being food for God. This is not an imitation of the idolatry around them. In fact, it's rather unique. The 12 loaves pointed to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's an easy one for us to understand. The fact that Aaron and his sons ate the bread, and to understand that the priesthood was the representatives of the people of God, and these representatives were the ones who benefited from the life and the nourishment of the bread, tell us that the bread is referencing the life and the provision that God has provided for his people in his presence. And so this is the thought, the name, the bread of presence, which again is a more literal translation of what we know to be the showbread. It reminded Israel that God was always present to provide everything they needed for life. And Israel needed to be reminded of that and how quickly they forgot it. And how quickly God's people today forget our need to look to him for everything we need for life and for eternity. The 12 loaves on the table meant that God would ever sustain Israel in his presence. And that's why the table of showbread, that's what it meant to the nation of Israel. It had a significance to them. Now for us, we're told clearly that all of those things were types and shadows, and they were done and recorded for our benefit. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't a purpose and there wasn't an understanding in Israel's day as well. So that's what it meant to them. It meant that God will provide what we need. He will provide for life and for nourishment. But let's look at several verses now that point us to the fact that those symbols and those things that meant certain things to Israel were actually pointing to Jesus Christ as the bread of life. the one that would bring us into the very presence of God, that we might have his favor and his blessing. let's begin with Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, that even in the Old Testament, there was this declaration of spiritual truth that was to give perspective to everything in life for Israel and then on down to us in this church age. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. So he, God, humbled you, Israel, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What God was trying to teach Israel, and a principle that carries on through all dispensations, is that life is more than just surviving, just breathing and sustaining natural life and seeking natural comforts. Life is all about knowing the will of God and obeying. And when you know the will of God and you surrender to its sovereignty, to its authority, then you will know what life is all about, natural life as well as eternal life. When you receive that which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the Word of God, the revealed will of God, is referred to as a kind of bread, the bread that really brings life, rather than just natural bread and natural life. John 14, verse 7. We'll read several passages here in John where Jesus makes it clear that he is the fulfillment of all the things that symbol of the table of showbread and the bread itself, the things that it pointed to. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those symbols. He's the substance of the shadows. Life, both natural and spiritual, proceeds from God. And man needs to be reminded of that. If man is going to live, he must do so in the presence of God. The presence bread. It's God's word that reveals to us the way into his presence. And this is why we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because God has revealed to us through his word how we can enter in, how a sinful race of men can enter into the presence of God and receive everything we need. John 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, remember, man lives by not bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus is the true table of showbread that displays for us, shows us, provides for us the life that is found in the presence of God. Jesus came, and just as that table of showbread was quite literally in the presence of Israel and in a tent, the Son of God came in the presence, in our presence, in a tent, to dwell with us, that we might be reminded of the Word of God, that we might have life that proceeds from knowing the will of God. He came to reveal us the Father and the Father's plan for redemption. The table was made of acacia wood, we read. Acacia wood was a very hardy wood that was not easily susceptible to corruption. And so it was a perfect wood to symbolize the sinless humanity of Jesus Christ. But it was necessary for him to be made flesh. It had to be wood overlaid with gold. Gold speaks of his divinity. John writes, when John talks about the experience of the disciples when they looked on Jesus and his ministry and his teaching, what did they see? We saw the Son of God. We saw the glory of God. And so this is the wood that's overlaid with gold. It was necessary for the God-man to come into the human race to provide and to demonstrate and to display the bread of life. John chapter 1. We'll read of that coming and dwelling with the human race. John 1:14. Once again, the purpose of the showbread in the tabernacle was simply as a matter of displaying this bread that was the very life, pointed to the very life of Israel, that in the presence of God he would sustain them. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we see both the acacia wood and the overlaying of gold, don't we? He dwelt among us as one of us, as a man. But we saw his glory. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me,' for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He has displayed the will, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the way into his presence. Jesus revealed that in his ministry, and then he fulfilled it and became the way by becoming the sacrifice for sin. Now let's read several passages in John 6. This sixth chapter of John deals with this subject in great detail. And I just want to read several passages here and let Jesus himself give us the commentary and the explanation of these symbols in the showbread. Now, he doesn't reference them specifically as the showbread, but he speaks of being the bread of life. He speaks of being brought into the presence of the Father, and that in the presence of the Father, there's this bread of life that he offers, and it gives eternal life. And so all of those things are directly connected to those symbols. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it?'" This is verse 30 of John chapter 6. John 6, verse 30. "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' And then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Aren't you glad for that wonderful assurance? For I have come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father. Remember, man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here's his word. It is his Son. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. He's been in the presence of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You're standing there, you're breathing, you're walking around, but you don't have life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. The table of showbread pointed to Jesus as the bread of life that would come to bring life to all who believe. When Jesus spoke these words, the multitude didn't comprehend at all what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. How can we eat his flesh? How can we drink his blood? But his reference, of course, was to the sacrifice on the cross. The reference was to faith. We eat spiritually the bread of life by believing the Word of God, by believing what Jesus came to reveal is the will of the Father, that the only way into his presence is through faith in Jesus Christ. And in his presence, by way of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And therefore, we have everything we need for life and for eternity. Just as God wanted to remind Israel by the presence of the presence bread, to understand that that was the presence of the faithfulness of God to provide for them. We need to understand that our God is present today to meet our every need because of Jesus. So not only is this a symbol that points to redemption and salvation, but as the children of God, because we are in the presence of God, because we have an entrance into this grace, because we stand in grace, as Paul wrote in Romans 5, we know that He'll provide everything we need, spirit, soul, and body. And we can rejoice in that, and we shouldn't need, as Israel needed, that constant piece of furniture to look at to say, oh, God wants me to remember. We have the full revelation of the plan of redemption in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God by which we live, and that should be sufficient to remind us, and we should go to the Word and constantly be reminded, because Christ died for me, because I am redeemed, I stand in favor in the presence of the eternal Almighty God. What more do I need to rejoice? In Psalm 46, we'll close with this passage. We'll just read the entire psalm here. As a reminder of the benefits of the bread of life, not just so we'll escape hell, but that we might be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Many think that that's a musical term that means simply pause. Some translate it simply as to meditate. And I think to pause and meditate is a good way to understand that. Does that sound like your situation? Has your earth been removed? Has your life been shaken up by some circumstance or situation or trial or difficulty or need? Have your waters been troubled? The mountains shaken that were mountains of blessing and seemed like security for you, have they been shaken and crumbled under your feet? Stop and think about it. Your God is a very present help in time of need. Because Jesus was made the bread of life for you, you have everything you need. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. There's His presence again. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. These, of course, are references to the city of Jerusalem. But for the child of God in this church age, we are the temple of the living God. We had this morning, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We quite literally have the presence of God in our midst. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Stop and think about that for a minute. Stop and think about it. The God of Jacob, the one who continues to sustain that little insignificant nation, that nation that seems to be what all of the other nations continue to pivot around, that nations for centuries have tried to annihilate, and the God of Jacob has protected and watched over her. That God is my God. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, rather, is our refuge. Think about it. Stop. Be still. And know that He is God and He's a present help. His presence is with us because of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the eternal table of showbread. Thank God for the true bread of life, Jesus Christ.